James.
Raf.
How's it going, mate? How's it going? How is everything this week?
Yeah, no, you know, kicking along, just living large. I do have something to confess, though.
What do you mean?
Unfortunately.
Go on, hit me.
It's kind of embarrassing, to be honest, because I know how much
space.
I know how much work that you put into it. But I know you composed the Down Round theme a little while ago.
I did. Yeah.
I remember you sending me MP3s as you were working on different theme songs for the podcast. I guess it was like 2 years ago now.
Yeah. Almost. What do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Yeah. And we kind of arrived at it. I know you put a lot of work into that, but I've replaced it. You know,
Excuse me.
Well, no,
I know you're a guitarist. You play a bit of guitar.
I do. Yeah, but I thought. You know, I kind of made the executive decision because all these new, like, AI-generated music.
AI-generated?
AI platforms that come out. I thought I could make something that was more in line with sort of the vision that I had for the podcast.
Oh, I mean, I assume it's still, we're talking like a synth wave, like we're, you know, kind of spacey, kind of retro-futuristic kind of jam, right? At least like still kind of my vision, right? Human vision.
It's not quite like that. It's in the same universe as that, but
do you want to, well, I guess hit me.
Down round. Oh, damn, y'all boys chatting about the computer. Oh, them young boys, chatting about the computer. Down round.
We're talking about AI music today. Now that you've sat through that little skit of the whip.
a little skit, a little bit of acting.
This has been something that's percolating sort of in the background for a little while. Mm. You know, there's been lots of chatter about, right, in the same way that...
Calm before the storm, I'd say, almost.
Yeah. You know, I mean, AI comes up a lot in terms of all sorts of creative endeavor.
Yep.
A lot of focus has been on images and video.
Yeah.
And obviously text. Text being the number one thing that people use AI for. But music has been one that's sort of been speculated on for a while. And over the last few months, really, and... even closer, probably like 2 weeks, we've had like a sudden flurry of activity.
In the music space.
AI music, which, you know, it's funny to think that it was a year ago we were reading like papers from Google's AI division, which had like example clips from their, whatever the model they're building internally. And, you know, it was kind of fun and novelty, but not ultimately that impressive.
Yep.
And it was all pretty academic.
Yeah, but then we have spoken about it, but the audio stuff has progressed. Like, you know, a few months ago, I showed you some of the stuff that we'd done where you can change people's voices. And we know that. You can see, like, the voice emulation stuff was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty impressive. It's Donald Trump and Joe Biden playing Fortnite or whatever, or Counter-Strike. And, you know, there was tons.
The Ghost Rider stuff, like the Drake and Weeknd collabo, AI collabo.
That's right. And tons of clips of, like, his Toad from Mario Kart singing Total Eclipse of the Heart, or, you know, that.
Yes.
It's got the voice cloning stuff. So that stuff has obviously been moving along in leaps and bounds. We want to talk about it now because a few things have kind of launched, which have sort of given people a bit of a wow moment, I guess. A few platforms, a lot of them that are sort of accumulating capital and working on things in the background. The big companies are definitely working on it as well, but these two have sort of captured some attention over the past few weeks. The first one is called Suno, S-U-N-O, which came out with version 3 of their model, so they had some earlier ones. And then another one called Udio, Udio.com, have launched these new models, which are prompt-based music generators.
Yeah, so type in, I want a country music song about how Zoomers don't drink beer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it will just give you one, basically.
They're sipping on their hard seltzers and frappu freaking chinos while we're pouring down the coldest, smoothest Americanos. These Zoomers can't appreciate a real ice cold brew. They'd rather sip their sugary drinks and dye their hair blue.
And there's some nuances to it, but that's what we're talking about when we talk about music generation. It will generate a song for you.
As well as telling it to generate a song and generate the lyrics for you, you can also put in your own lyrics. And it will generate music and vocals that fit the lyrics that you have plugged into it.
Yeah.
If you use Suno, you use Udio, I'd encourage you to do so. Udio, as we'll get into in a bit, gives you an absurd amount of free generations at the moment. They have raised a lot of money from Andreessen Horowitz and a bunch of other sources as well, which they're obviously just burning on this beta phase that they've rolled out.
Yeah.
But the point is that this music is actually quite credible. I'm not going to say that it's something I'm going to sit down and actively listen to.
Well, I mean, that theme you just heard was obviously made on it. But it is an impressive technology.
It's very impressive. Very impressive.
Especially Yudio Tsuno. I mean, we'll get to both of them in a minute. But I am impressed by just thinking about, like, how does it work insofar as, like, it obviously has a corpus of tagged songs that it's like, this is country. Or I guess in the case of the new Down Round theme, like reggae, what I assume is happening is it's like sending it off to an LLM. This happens in like, well, how long does a generation take? It's like less than a minute, I reckon, or around a minute. Maybe.
It's about a minute, and it generates in like 33-second chunks.
Yeah, it generates in chunks. So it gives you kind of a middle chunk almost to start with. But, you know, it must be, especially if it's got lyrics, sending it off to an LLM to say, like, you know, ChatGPT to be like, give me a reggae song about this topic, sending that back, generating music based on its like training data of shitloads of reggae songs, turning those lyrics into a vocal harmony that's then synthesizing the vocals and like putting it together in a cohesive package. Like the music doesn't sound bad, right? You're not getting like, you know, like AI video or whatever, where you get like a sixth finger and like,
yeah.
It's not kind of doing that. It's not like giving a random wrong note and stuff, which I know that's probably not how, like the AI isn't trying to play like, you know, like
I'd be intrigued as to what it's doing because I've been trying to listen for when it has errors and stuff comes out sounding obviously wrong.
Mm.
And it normally, I'm talking most about Yudio right now, but Tsuno, I'm pretty sure it's kind of similar. But on Yudio, you will often hear, and they've got a system there where it like forces the generation to stick to a beat.
Mm.
But you can definitely hear errors that it makes when it's trying to force the lyrics that you give it or the lyrics that it's generated into like a steady rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it'll, for the quote unquote, the singer will be singing and it will like kind of skip and jump and like go slow, then go quickly as it sort of tries to cohere to the beat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sounds like weird. And those are the kind of audio artifacts that you get. You don't really hear a lot in terms of the actual music itself. Like the music itself is pretty clean. So, yeah, it makes me wonder, how do they get generated? Is it like, I mean, one way to think about it, is it like generating actual tracks in a particular key or whatever? Or is it generating everything
like as
one big lump of like bass, drums, guitar, keyboards, vocals as one ever-growing sort
of? I think that it must be doing the latter because otherwise, so right now you get an option, as you said, so you generate, which is explain how it works, generate like this 33-second bit, and then if you just want to stick to just generating it, like everything basically algorithmic, you're like, generate me an intro to this thing. You get options, sorry, I should say. It'll give you two options, or you can choose to kind of remix one of them if you don't particularly like either option. If you do like one of the two options, then you're like, okay, generate me an intro. It'll give you two options for the intro. Generate me a middle section, and you can kind of like structure it by just like automatically generating you sections. You can remix it by like taking that track and say, okay, do this, but do it more synth wave, more 80s.
Yeah.
Give me more reggae.
Each chunk you can change the text prompt. So you could say this bit is like, I don't know, a big soaring chorus and there is going to be a guitar solo in it or something.
Yeah.
And
so just choose your own adventure, like song
build. It really, and it doesn't have a whole lot of granular control. And I was sort of experimenting, and again, a reminder, this is Yudio, but Tsuno works quite similarly. If you give it like really specific instructions, like I want the bass to be doing this, I want the guitar to be doing this, and I want the keyboards to be doing this, it gets a little bit confused and will most likely ignore most of it.
Mm.
But what it is very good at is like, I want an upbeat house song with exuberant female vocals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good at that. But at the moment you're like, and I want the synth to be blah, 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 it sort of loses the game a bit.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably a tagging problem more than anything else.
Well, also I think that what it's doing is like the most important thing is the next section or whatever to match the section before. So it's like 99% just like make a next section to this piece of music and then 1%, you know, whatever changes the prompt. Because like I found I was trying to build a dub techno track and it got into a lull, you know, like no drums or whatever, into what felt like a build, but it just couldn't get itself out of the build. Like it couldn't ever drop. Like it would just kind of And I kept on kind of trying to generate, and I'm like, okay, drop here. And it's just like, nah, it like would kind of peak and then go back into it, like where you would imagine the drums would drop, but then just kind of space out and then like build again. It just kind of couldn't work itself out, I guess, because it was just like generating based on the music that was coming before it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but you'll generally find, even when it doesn't follow instructions very well and it kind of fucks up, that the output normally sounds...
It sounds good.
It sounds good, but B, it sounds in line with whatever genre you've given it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really kind of sticking to the script.
Sorry, when I say sounds good, I mean like it doesn't sound like a novice or whatever. It's like there's no mistakes.
I don't know. And also it doesn't, to my ears, doesn't sound obviously AI generated either. Like, yes, it's not perfect. And we'll talk about this in a bit, but I think you also said if you tell it to generate some dub techno and then that output was sort of just like put in one of your regular dub techno playlists, you wouldn't immediately be like, oh,
it's AI.
Someone's put some fucking AI song in here.
No.
It would, I mean, and I know electronic music, you can get away with it more, especially when there's few vocals or the vocals take a back seat or whatever. At the end of the day, it's a fun toy. And like, I don't know if I would listen to this song. In fact, you know, it's not going in a playlist of mine.
No.
But, you know,
well, that's
making it is fun.
Yeah, making it is fun. That is very true. But I've said this like, I've said this on the podcast, I'm sure as well. Like, I think if you're in this kind of space with art in most forms, but like apps as well, if you can make people feel like Cards Against Humanity is the example I use.
Yeah, yeah.
The beauty of that game is that you're making people funny.
Yep.
Like, I get to be funny. I'm given these puzzle pieces that, like, I get to choose whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a couple of items, and I'm like, I get to be a funny comedian, and everyone laughs.
It's one of the Dan Brown theses. You give people, like, the frisson of creativity.
Yeah.
And they're going to go for it. Which is, even though, and I think we can say this pretty conclusively, I've never seen an AI-generated art that I've sort of enjoyed on its own terms.
Yeah.
There's a lot of AI images that I've looked at and been like, that's funny, that's interesting, but only in the context of like a computer made that. And that's interesting to me.
Like 6 months ago, someone reached out to us asking if we wanted to interview an AI artist. And like, I was like, oh yeah, the art is kind of semi-cool, whatever, but like, that's not really appropriate for our podcast. Like us just interviewing an AI artist, right? Like,
yep.
We're not the time or the place. And I went to the MCA on the weekend and she like had a big artwork as part of
okay.
Yeah, at the MCA. And I was like, oh, okay. AI art here at the MCA. So that's a thing.
Mm.
I mean, it was a bit more than that. It was a big kind of interactive video thing but like with some AI generated elements or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was one piece out of like Sun Biennale thing.
But I'm sure we're going to see more of that stuff popping out. I mean, the only bit of AI art that I think is actually reached the level of being iconic enough that I can picture it is fucking Balenciaga Pope.
Yeah.
Like the Pope in the Balenciaga jacket. And yes, a lot of it was because of the discourse, but that's true of all art, right?
Yes, exactly.
You know, that's one where I can actually like picture it in my mind, what Balenciaga Pope looked like.
Yes.
And maybe that can never be replicated because people are a bit wiser to it.
Mm.
And every time you see someone deceived by AI art now, it's like cooked Facebook boomers or whatever.
Yeah.
But like that was a heavy hitter.
Oh, absolutely.
But
No. But point being, like, this is where I basically think this is, not to go like too early on the like conclusion, but yes, much like AI art from Midjourney or whatever, and yes, you'll occasionally see it pop up with friggin' like AFL footy teams if they were 1980s movies or whatever, and like kind of crap.
Whatever, yeah. There's a lot of TikTok and other social media chum that is just basically that. What if Harry Potter was an 80s dark fantasy movie?
Yeah. Or like, wasn't there like someone posted in the Discord, it was like countries as women then like footy teams as women just like going through
that's like 85% of it. It's like what if this like abstract concept was kind of a sexy lady?
A sexy lady in a bikini or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
People love that gear.
Yeah, people love that gear, sure. But obviously not particularly culturally resonant insofar as like
having any contribution, really. It's the pink slime of creativity, right?
When those generators came out, it was fun to do stuff, but you kind of quickly become bored of it because you realize like, and people showing you, same as when the LLMs came out and it was like, haha, it's a poem in the style of Banjo Patterson about smoke and darts or whatever, you know, like, okay, that's pretty cool. The same is true, I think. I feel like right now we're in that moment with the music stuff where it's like, it's very impressive. what these things can do.
Yeah, super impressive.
Right now, much like it was super impressive when you first saw the image generation stuff.
Yeah.
But like within weeks, the human mind will just be like, ugh. You know, like, okay, we get it. Like,
yeah, it's cool. You can do that. Yeah. The thing that okay, we'll get into like the, what this stuff's actually going to be used for. Because on the one hand, what I think about this stuff that's come out right now and what I've been listening to it on Udio and whatever, I'm like, this is automatically kind of at the level of production music, like stock music, stuff that gets used in the background of
every ad.
Like ads and incidental music in TV shows. And
Literal elevator music.
Yeah, like Muzak. So like it's available for that. I do think, and we can talk about this as well, that I don't know if it's getting across the copyright line in terms of, because like Suno, for example, Udio is fully in beta. You can't actually pay for it. They're giving you 600 generations per month.
Yeah, which is
just an absurd amount considering what the computational load is, I imagine, for this.
Well, let's start on that. Like, yes, 600. I mean, that is, so to be fair, you know, it takes maybe like six or so generations to get a song, if not more, if you're really trying to fucking hone in there and write your magnum opus or whatever. Like, it might take you 20 or so, but like, you know, a typical song could, that's 2.5 minutes long, is going to take like 5 or 6 generations or so. So it's anywhere between kind of 50 to 100 songs, and 50 would be like if you're really drilling down, per month. That means you're getting in there every day and making like 3 songs a day.
Yeah.
No one needs that much.
It's an incredible amount. I don't know, because it is very new. It only came out last week. I don't know if it's just them doing like load testing and seeing.
Yeah, load testing. And also they're just trying to get user feedback.
And they're trying to get users. And it's very clear they're trying to make it viral.
Yeah.
Because
it's slick, the interface.
The interface is slick. Once you open it, the only thing you see are kind of like songs that people have made and published.
Yeah.
So you can, it also wants to be like the Spotify for.
Yeah, here's the most popular tracks. Here's like editor's picks.
And each track that you publish has a AI generated album art. You can't upload your own image. It has to be using their image generator.
Mm.
I don't know what service they're using or whatever, but it's one of the open source ones, I imagine. But they very clearly want to be, and both Suno and Udio have made it so the songs that you produce like embed in WhatsApp and iMessage and everything like that. They want people to be sharing this stuff around.
Yeah, highly shareable.
And they want it to be. And there's a lot of songs that are like popular on Udio that I've listened to and I'm like, any of these could like go viral with people being like, whoa.
Yeah.
Look what a computer did.
Absolutely. And someone said it in the Discord as well. Like, absolutely in the next month, we're going to see, a viral AI song that's played on Today FM.
And it's good.
And it's like crazy. And it's probably going to be a little bit funny.
It's going to have some funny lyrics.
It's going to have some
A lot of them have, a lot of the ones that are on there right now have got
very, very funny comedy
lyrics.
Yeah.
But what I think that makes music maybe a little bit different to images is that people do actually love music and actively listen to it and are always listening to it in various contexts. Sometimes you like listening to songs that you love, and sometimes you're like basically listening to your own version of Muzak, which is like, you know, the lo-fi beats to study to crowd, right? You know, and it's true. Like when I'm working and listening to music, for the most part, there's like a vibe I'm going for. I don't want it to have lyrics because I'm one of those, I can't listen to lyrics at work. And you know, sometimes I want one particular genre versus another, but I don't really care what it is as long as it kind of fits those conventions and it's the vibe that I'm going for.
I listen to, hard techno, Berlin techno, industrial techno, dub techno. You know, that's kind of the scope.
There's no specific bangers within that you need to be listening to.
No, well, if a song comes on that I recognize, I'll typically skip it.
Right. Okay.
Like
You need it to be background.
I basically need it to be background. Yeah.
But on the other side of the coin, there are going to be times where you listen to music that you actually love because you want to hear the songs, you want to hear the, you know, whatever.
But in the former category, yes, you can see there being, like, if we're moving into like, what is the purpose of this shit other than like a one or two viral
funny novelty stuff and fun to play with.
Yeah, and like a CEO being like at the, you know, the all staff being like, actually, we have this song that I generated about our company, you know, whatever, like our mission and vision.
Isn't
it brilliant? In the style of Bob Dylan, whatever, sure, we're going to get that crap. But in the actual like that space, yes, as I said, if I have some techno going that's supposed to just be background while I'm working and some AI tracks are slipped in there, I probably am not going to notice at all. If I'm sitting there like cooking and like listening to some music with lyrics, like I feel like there might be a bit, like the uncanny valley is going to be hard to kind of get over.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if there's, like you wonder if there's going to be an AI music artist who is a person that has great taste. And maybe when these tools get a bit more granular and you can actually define.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's going to happen. I feel like that's a separate conversation.
To what's happening right now. Yeah, I agree.
So like, I think in the short term, we're going to have the same thing with the LLMs and image generators or whatever. Right now, as we speak, as you, dear listener, speaking directly to you, I love the relationship we have. But right now, as you listen to this, someone is just pumping out 9 billion different songs of like school, like children's songs and this songs, and they're trying to get them up on Spotify to just eke out that
tiny little, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, calling them like happy birthday to us and, you know, whatever, like, and children's fun party songs.
Doing Spotify SEO spam.
Yeah, exactly. And like, that'll be happening straight away, but there's obviously no actual value there.
No, it's a race to the bottom. And I think one of the big reasons that that's a race to the bottom is that Spotify is going to be on this.
Yes.
Here's, I think, the elephant in the room for all this. And I don't think it was any great coincidence that the last 2 weeks when a bunch of these models have landed, Spotify has started testing its AI playlist feature, where it's being tested in Australia right now. I think it's like Australia and maybe one other market is getting the test, where it builds playlists from a prompt. Mm. So you obviously they have other AI features like the
Spotify DJ.
The Spotify DJ. Hey, Raf. But this one you can type in, I don't know, music to stare sadly out of the bus window to, or music to drive your fucking convertible with the top down. Or, you know, whatever, you know, I want stuff that really fucking rocks.
Yeah.
And I played around with it just to see what the vibe was. And, you know, it's not radically different to every other playlist feature that Spotify has. But you can tell they are 1,000,000% laying the groundwork for if someone punches in, I want some lo-fi beats to study to.
To chill slash study to. Let's be clear. Lo-fi hip-hop beats to chill slash study to is what we're referring to here.
That's what we're referring to. You know, the live streams on YouTube that have like 1 billion people watching at once.
With an anime character who's like writing on a piece of paper with a pen with rain coming down the window.
Yeah, totally. And it's like magic hour. And like all their shelves are like stuffed with vintage game consoles. That's the vibe we're going for. Spotify 1,000,000% would love to be in a position where someone types that in to like their AI playlist generator.
Yeah.
And they just generate you an endless stream of music that sounds like that, but it's all AI generated and they don't have to pay real artists or like these kind of fake artists that
are the record labels. Like this is the key issue. From a business model perspective, for Spotify has been since day one. A, the reason they could get started when no one else could is that Spotify made a deal with all the major record labels, we'll give you a percentage of our revenue. So for every incremental dollar that Spotify makes, they have to give off most of it to the major record labels or the artists. And even then they're paying like a pittance. The major labels don't care because like on aggregate, they still get shitloads and that's why indie artists get screwed. But most of their money, so it doesn't matter how big they get, they're giving away most of their money. So their margins are always going to be pretty low, which is why they, A, were like, okay, what about podcasts? If we can get people still paying their thoughts, and the way that it happens, sorry, I should say, we've discussed it before, it's not like one play equals 1 cent. It's our cumulative revenue that we made for that month, you get like based on how many plays, a percentage of that cumulative revenue. Now, if they can say like, well, you know, X amount of these hours, there was cumulatively 100 million hours of listening on Spotify. But if 10 million of that was on podcast, they'd have to pay the record labels for that 10 million. They get to keep all the revenue from that 10 million, which is why like they are, and books is another thing. They've just licensed all of these
audiobooks.
If like, again, of that 100 million, like 30 million was actually on audiobooks because people are going to spend their, you know, listening for 6 hours a day or whatever.
And they can get different and potentially better terms from the book publishers as well.
Exactly. Maybe with flat fees. They're not going to get themselves in this situation again.
Yeah.
obviously, yeah, that's good for Spotify. They get to keep more of the revenue that they're generating. So yes, their quest is basically make people listen to things on Spotify that isn't
that
music.
That isn't music, yeah. Like, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if it came out that like Daniel Ek, the Spotify CEO, just didn't like music. If it was like, oh, like, you know, I like Smoke on the Water. Like that kind of goes. But apart from that, you know.
But absolutely.
He's a platform guy. He was like, oh, here's a problem to solve. Yeah, like, here's a business. And don't get me wrong. I'm sure we have Spotify employees who listen to this.
Yeah.
There are many people at Spotify who are very passionate about music, especially on like the editorial and curation side.
I've said time and time again, like, I like Spotify.
Yeah.
I like Spotify. I pay for so many different music services, but I still use Spotify the most because I like it.
Yeah, but institutionally, their death drive is towards having people do other stuff on the platform. That's not that. Something can get me. So dream scenario for them is like, fuck, if we can get the people who are working on their computer and listening to lyricless music and don't give a fuck about who is playing it to listen to AI-generated music.
Even if it's just like 10% of the time, slot one in, four in, you know, you start really small.
So if we get to a point where, you know, Raph punches into the AI playlist generator, give me some hard techno, and half of the songs on that playlist are AI-generated and maybe AI-generated based on the music around it.
Yeah.
So it sort of flows nicely. Great. On this one person, we're paying 50% of the royalties.
Yeah, royalties.
And on the aggregate across 100 million users, that's a jackpot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's the dream for how AI music will actually happen.
Yeah.
And you can guarantee Spotify will be at the forefront of that. I don't think Apple Music will be.
No. Well, Apple Music haven't really released any features other than like vague UI rearrangements.
They dick around with the UI. And keep in mind, like, they are very popular. Like, they take a decent chunk of the streaming market.
Of course. Because they can be, because they're like the default. They're free when you buy an iPhone. But this is, you know, I've said this before, like, you can tell that there's probably some anti-competitive stuff going on here when it's like Spotify is constantly new features, like new shareability, new kind of growth tactics. Like, we'll try this. We'll buy this podcast firm and try and integrate it and then get rid of it. We've got audiobooks. We've got the AI DJ. Features.
Oh, shit. We've got this new like activation where it's like giving you music tarot cards.
Yeah, exactly. And like video clips and stuff like that, and also video podcasts. And whereas Apple Music has just sat there and done nothing.
Apple Music's just like, all right, Zane Lowe, come in the office, mate. We're rigging your contract up for another 2 years.
Yeah. You can sign in. You can listen to the Zane Lowe Radio Hour once a week. What the fuck? Like, what?
Yeah.
Just the antithesis of like streaming and anyway.
I would actually love to know, because it wouldn't shock me if just like the entire internal KPIs at Apple Music were just vastly different, and they think about the app. Like, Spotify is like, they would be like, we want people to always be listening to Spotify.
Mm.
That's the dream. Like, even if they're doing other stuff, they're doing housework, they're working, whatever, we would love people to be listening to Spotify 15 hours a day.
Mm.
That's great. Apple must contextualize things across their entire product line.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we want people to be doing, watching some Apple TV. We want them to be in our ecosystem, all driving hardware sales.
Well, I mean, the mere fact that Spotify, like, internally, strategically, are thinking about this, like, how do we, like, not do rev shares with, how do we drive people to content that isn't, that doesn't have a rev share with record labels? Whereas Apple Music is, like, probably like, oh, how do we gain incremental market share? And, like,
totally.
A lot of that will probably be about, like, bundling with Apple One.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, as you say. So it's, like, a completely... And that's the advantage of also not having to pay 30% on being like prepackaged on the phone.
Yeah. And try and being symbiotic with hardware sales, which are kind of like their core revenue driver. Mm. And yes, they're swinging the needle a bit more to subscriptions and what have you. But yeah, it's a totally different game. So as a result, I don't see Apple Music having really any impetus to do this stuff.
And
they will do something.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll like incorporate AI in some way, but like AI generated music, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think there will definitely be a big differentiation play on organizations that are just like, our policy with AI is just generative AI stuff is just, it doesn't exist. If you're a news organization, if you're like Bloomberg or whatever, or the FT or the ABC, and you're just like, our policy is you will never see AI-generated articles here. It's just like a flat-out no. If you've read words, it's by a human. And like we've told our journalists, like, you are not to use AI when writing. You can use it for research or whatever, but no AI. And like that is our differentiation, which especially I think you could say that. I use that as an example because it's like it's more obvious in that space. Like I actually wouldn't mind going to a news source where like I have that guarantee that it's like people. If Apple Music were to say like, take that policy, like we basically take a blanket no to AI music, obviously way harder to enforce. But like if Spotify is like, oh yeah, we're actively incorporating AI music, and Apple's just like, we don't do that. We're like music by humans for humans or whatever. Then, you know, you can see some kind of wedge there.
Yeah.
But that kind of leads to, I think, what you were talking about earlier, where like it isn't a case of like it's either AI music or it's not, in that there's a middle ground there. And I know you were kind of getting to this point where actual musicians with taste already are. I mean, we made a Meeting Tree track, which I played you like a few months ago, where we used AI to like change the vocals, my you know, Joyride's vocals to like a female vocal, just because it would sound better on this kind of dance music track. Tweak that to, you know, what you're talking about, where like you can really go in and like change aspects, change the bass line using natural language. And if you have taste, actually make, like hopefully make interesting music. Yeah, like where is the line then between do like Waltzing Matilda, but actually it's about like a really like bass dude who like only eats like raw meat.
Hell yeah. I'm into that. No, and I think that at the moment there's way too much disconnect between, and this also applies across the board, not just music, but AI, art and whatever as well. There's a bit too much of a disconnect between these like really simplified tools where, you know, Udio has some interesting sort of ways to control it, but it, as I mentioned before, it's still pretty much a crapshoot. It gives you two versions of everything you've just input, and you can be like, oh, I like this, I don't like that. I'll just re-roll, I'll try again.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
essentially what the remix button does.
Yeah.
I'll just give it another crack. And on the other end of the spectrum, like the actual DAOs that a producer would use.
Mm.
And at the moment, there's no real interaction between those two. There's like these things that can just crap out a certain output, and you just got to keep trying until you get something that sounds good. Plus, like the sort of granular control you would want.
Yeah.
And maybe like there is a future where it's like, you know, generate me an electro funk song. And then you're like, well, can this bass line sort of keep the vibe but wander around a bit? Well, let's have this whole song but like transpose it up a key or whatever, and have it actually do it with some degree of precision.
Whereas
now you're just not going to get that.
Yeah, see, but the thing that I always come back to with music is, so right now what I can do right now is download a, they're called like sample packs or whatever, where I can be like, you know, industrial techno packs, and it'll give me 20 or 30 ready-made tracks with every single channel, you know, all split out, and I can import the whole thing, and I can kind of, so my start is like a ready-made copyright-free track with all the different layers. And I can get rid of the drums and then do my own drums or pull in other drums. And like, I mean, I obviously don't do that because like it's known as being pretty cheese to do that. People have made tracks that have been very famous. I mean, very classically, Umbrella by Rihanna. The drum loop on Umbrella comes with like your Apple, like literally every MacBook. It's a Logic Apple loop. It's called an Apple loop. So people have been using them, you know, whatever, for forever to like incorporate these kind of basic loops or whatever. But my gut goes to like, you can already do this. You can already use Splice and look up like synthwave drums, synthwave synth, synthwave like vocals, and get hundreds and hundreds of options to drop in. Not as specific, especially not with lyrics. You can't type in like, here are the lyrics I want. But like, people are doing that, people are putting them out. And so part of me is like, you can basically already do all this shit, not generatively, but you can have more control by looking these things up. Now, I do also understand though that like, in order to do all this, you still need to know how to edit audio, which is a learning curve. That is like something that one has to jump over, and something like Udio, you don't. You can literally just, it will give you the MP3 fully done right here. It's done. You download it. You can try and use natural language to tweak some things. However, like as soon as you want to change, and I'm sure they'll get better and it'll get more intricate, and you'll have to kind of learn how to use it. And you know, you will be able to kind of separate the bass line and separate the guitar and use prompting to kind of change things. But then at that point, how far away are you from just like, wanting to open up like a DAW and just like tweak it yourself and just fix things yourself. I don't know. It's one of those things where like I don't see this ever really working where you have to ask it to do something, get a bunch of results and then have to just, yeah, re-roll the dice every time until you get something that you vaguely like that isn't what's in your head, but it's like, oh, that sounds pretty cool though, I guess. I'll go with that. Do you ever end up with anything great when all you're doing is just constantly rolling the dice?
No, totally. And that's exactly what my experience of using this was, is that like I would give it a prompt and I'd be like, whatever. And then it would spit something out and I was like, nothing that you picked up from my prompt was really accurate apart from like the general genre convention. But it sounds interesting.
Sounds good.
It sounds good or whatever. But it you know, it still obviously has that overarching feeling, which every bit of AI output does, which is like the only reason I'm really finding this interesting or remarkable or is really sticking out in my mind is because of fucking computer made it.
Yeah.
If I heard this song, here's the thing that I think Udio has at the very least crossed slightly, is that I think the music is of a quality where I wouldn't necessarily be able to tell, at least with some of the tracks.
Yeah,
if I heard it, even if not in the context of like a random Spotify playlist, but someone was like, check out this song I made and I listened to it, I might believe that they had done that.
Yeah.
By recording it.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if they're an amateur.
Especially if they're an amateur.
And well, no, only in the sense that, as I said, it doesn't make mistakes. It's going to be, the nature of it is it's going to be pretty good at making bland music. Because I was like very much with the stuff I was trying to make, I was like, has a very obvious 3-note melody. Like I was trying to get it to like give me something interesting that will like be catchy for my head. Like,
yep.
And then I was like, no, regen until you give me like a nice kind of catchy 3-note melody, that like repetitive melody for techno or whatever.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to get it to give you something interesting, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, when what it is doing is absorbing a gigantic data set and finding commonalities between genres and regurgitating it, it's tough for it to come out with something unique. I've had it come out with a few like lead melodies or whatever, or like some synth riff or whatever, which sounds cool. And I was like, oh, but it's not like remarkably out there.
It
sounds like stuff I've heard before, just a unique version of it. Which, you know, that's what all bloody music is like these days.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's what, you know, we get back to that. Isn't that just what humans are? Well, I mean, again, as my friend Rowan, who, aka Joyride, who is a professional musician, does soundtrack. What do you call it when you like compose? He's a composer. He composes music for, you know.
Sounds good.
For films and ads and whatnot. He's like, oh, yeah, it's great for like drumming up ideas and then taking one idea, because obviously he's like, well, obviously I want to do that with like different chords or the chords sounding different and blah, blah, blah. So it's great in that regard. Yeah, but yeah, as far as like a business is concerned, I don't know, other than like creative things like licensing the technology to Spotify or some weird API stuff or whatever, as far as a consumer product is concerned, like how many people are going to pay enough money to like, God knows how much compute this thing is using. That's something like how much friggin' compute does it, you know, I described earlier what I assume it's kind of doing.
Yeah.
And like how much compute is that using? I don't know.
It must be absolutely pumping through. It has received, like Udio has received an investment from Andreessen Horowitz, as I mentioned before. And if
10 mil.
If you listened to our podcast last week with Carl Harrison, he's talking about these giant VC firms are looking for capital intensive businesses to pump all their Saudi money, et cetera. Maybe this is, you know, match made in heaven.
Yeah. But who buys it is what I'm saying. Like from a who's going to pay $50 a month?
That's it. Yeah. Who's going to do that for something which is kind of a fun toy? And especially if like we're seeing a race to the bottom in terms of the outputs and how much value you can extract out of them.
Yeah.
That becomes a little bit trickier. Also, what Udio is doing, but also Suno to a certain extent, where they have like a nice Spotify-ish front page where you can see like what rock songs are like charting and you can listen to like albums that people have put together with music. Who's paying for that? No. Like I can understand it within certain contexts on something like Spotify where like there are certain circumstances in which it would serve you AI-generated music. I see the vision for what Spotify want to do, but I don't see a vision where someone except a very specific, basically the music version of the AI art people.
Well, the CEO of Perplexity,
who
said, I find myself going to Suno more than I do Spotify nowadays. It's become so good. And then linked an epic metal song about how much I hate Mondays.
Yeah, he was like, wow, I'd rather listen to this than Spotify. And this guy's, well, that's because you're a fucking moron.
And just posted the worst song of all time. Dog shit.
Like within the context of AI music.
Within the context of epic metal, one of the worst genres. It's the worst epic metal that's ever been made.
No, so it's like, well, that, yeah. I mean, you run into this problem with all kinds of AI-generated music. I've talked about this before. I don't want to sound like an elitist. I'm a man of the people. Maybe not as much as you, but I consider myself a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're too high on the bell curve, mate.
Yeah, in the midwit part?
No, I'm in the midwit part.
Oh, no, I'm too far up. Yeah, oh, okay, I appreciate that. But it's just like, and this is a natural consequence of a system that's made by software developers,
yes,
be it the AI art stuff or the whatever. You don't need taste to make an AI art or music system. You need data.
Yes.
Right? It's being marketed to people who don't have the skills to make music, make art, write, whatever. So as a result, you're going to get a lot of people who just don't have taste. Mm. And that's fine. Many people don't have taste.
Yes.
You can be a genius who contributes to society and not have musical taste or artistic taste.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't have to get yourself all tied up in a knot about it.
Yeah. But they experience the joy of creating something in a marginal sense. It's a line of cocaine. It's very temporary. When you like make a song, and I'm sure it's the same with like writing an article or whatever, and then you listen to it back, you notice the little things you put in, like, oh, I like how I did that little that little transition there, or like, you know, whatever, like the feel of how I kind of executed that.
Or the opposite, where you're like, oh, that drum feel could have been a tiny bit tighter.
Yeah.
And you can go back and fix it.
And then you go back and fix it. And you listen to it back and you're like, well, we'll have a session and I go home and I have Apple Notes open and I put my headphones on and I go through and listen to the song multiple times and make timestamp notes of like, that needs to change, we need to change this here, longer, shorter, blah, 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 blah. Obviously with AI stuff, you don't have that at all. And the same, I'm sure, is true with like art and, you know, if you're even digital artists or whatever, it's like, oh, I need to fix that. Whatever. You don't get that at all with this. You just get the rush of satisfaction of the finished product immediately, which is the same as like what everything is heading towards. You get this kind of fake dopamine rush of like, I made this. Yep. I did it.
Like, I did
it. It's my genius. But that only goes so far, especially, you know, your brain realizes, you know, as I said, humans get bored really quickly. When you've got a folder on your desktop of 1,000 generated songs, which are all great, like it just doesn't hit the same. If you've got 10,000 AI generated sexy nymphs, you know, maybe the sexy nymph doesn't fucking get you going anymore.
That's a scary thought. That's a real scary thought. Well, you know, the same. I probably sat down for like 40 minutes with this thing, making a fucking Italo disco song where I was stitching stuff together and whatever. And at the end of it, I had like a 3.5 minute long song. And I was like, I listened to it. And I was like, this sounds credible. If I heard this on like, you know, from Rome with Love, 1987. And like, it was amid all the other classics of the era. Mm. I'd be like, wow, that's a credible bit of music. Mm. And then I felt nothing and I've never listened to it again. You know, it's different to when you're actually laboring over something.
Mm.
And this is not to say, this is not talking down to people that love you playing with these toys or using them or
outputting stuff. No, they're cool. It's fun. It's good.
It is a point about the longevity of it, at least for now. Obviously, caveat, we are talking about the systems as they exist now.
Mm.
There may be a lot more granularity, which gives you, you could be able to do the thing where you're like, oh, that drum fill could be a little tighter. And then you fucking type it into your text box and it does tighten it up.
This kind of goes back to my theory. I still feel like, yeah, okay, sitting there and then generating drum fill after drum fill after drum fill, maybe you could kind of get there if you have that kind of level of granularity. But like at the end of the day, that's what you kind of need for like almost every part. You need to be going like part by part through a song and doing like generation after generation, which is basically aping what you would do if you're sitting there playing with it, like trying a bass line and it not working and like, you know, just trying all different kind of patterns and whatnot. But like it has to get more granular, which at the end of the day means it needs to be more human. Like you need to have more human in the loop to actually make good art.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
In my opinion.
Interesting.
My opinion.
I buy that. And the other, I think, just to like close the loop on what we're talking about, the other thing that we're going to run into is the rights issue is not really solved in much the same ways as for all AI. There was an interview with the founder of Udio in the Music Press. It was like a music technology publication. And he was basically asked, what is this trained on?
Mm.
Like, what is your training set for all this? And he should have gone with the OpenAI CTO thing of like, I don't know. because the answer he gave was like 9 pages worth of equivocation. Where he was like, you know, to make one of these systems work, it needs to be trained on everything that exists. So for us to tackle that, obviously we need to look for some really rich and clean public data sets. And it was basically a very, very, very long way of saying we scraped the output of something.
Yeah.
Like we've stolen it from YouTube. We've found a way to like output Spotify songs into like a fucking Excel spreadsheet with links or whatever. And we've trained it off that. And I don't know what the end situation is. Obviously, it seems like the music labels are worried about AI-generated music. This does give a bit of context to Universal having that big fucking flip out with TikTok.
Yeah.
If they must have been aware this stuff was coming because they would have been speaking to the people making it. Udio, if you go into it now and you say, generate me a song that in the style of, I don't know, Steely Dan, right? It will reject it in the sense that it's like, hey, buddy, we don't let you do artist copies here. But at the same time, it will still run the generation. It'll just replace Steely Dan with like jazzy yacht rock, slick vocals, cerebral lyrics, and so many like identifiers as like, well, you're describing the artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And surely they can't get away with that for very long. I know you asked for Nirvana, but what we're going to give you
is Seattle garage kind of Seattle grunge rock.
Seattle grunge. You know, simple big riffs, you know, that, but not Nirvana, which I've never heard of. That, at least Suno flat out rejects it. Says, we can't do that. Udio tries to do this triangulated thing, which is kind of like, that seems legally fraught to me, but it's in a beta. It's beta.
Well, anyway, go out there, make some bangers, see how you go. You're an artist now. You're a musician now. Congratulations. Go and get a record deal.
Get a record deal. Sign up to Downround Discord. Just post them all in there. Just keep
posting.
We'll
make a new channel where everyone can post their epic art.
But they have to be funny, though.
Yeah, very funny songs. Give me 3.5 minute long funny songs. Honestly, like, it's going to be, you know, like your mother-in-law, if you have one or whatever, will show you, you know, like the funny guy who makes the music at the end of the 7:30 report. We'll be like, oh, you have to watch this. Oh, you didn't see it. You have to watch this. It's about how Scott Morrison and like likes curries. And it's like, it's that tier what we're going to get just absolutely pumped with.
It just makes me sad to think that real artists who are making music about, it's funny that Scott Morrison makes curries, are being crowded out by these bloody robots. Yeah,
they took our jobs.
Chatting about the computer. Oh, them young boys. Chatting about the computer. Down round.
Down round.
Down round.
Down round.
We're tapping on the screen till the future look brighter. Tapping on the screen till the future look brighter.
If you're listening to this, did you know there's another world out there where you get a second episode of Down Round a week?
Yep, it's called Down Round Premium.
That's right, and there's no interruptions.
No interruptions, no ads, 2 episodes a week, including the free one you're getting right now, plus another one.
Yep, $7 a month, not a week, a month, downround.net. Downround.net, instant access to the whole back catalogue as well. You've got so much to catch up on.
There's so much. Get around it.